Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada News Makers. On the broadcast today, we're going to be talking about the plight of bar owners during COVID with Zach and Kalila Cage. They're here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are joined by Zach and Kalila Cage. Zach is the owner, along with Kalila, of several bars in Reno, including the Brewer's Cabinet, and Kalila is also the marketing manager for Tolls Development Company. Pleasure to have you both on the program.
Thank you.
So the reason that we wanted to have you on was to talk about the situation that bars are finding themselves in at this point in the coronavirus situation. Tell us what you've been through.
Well, so we, in our portfolio, we have one full-service restaurant, brew pub, and three beverage-only establishments. So there's been a little bit different experience. The restaurant was closed for only curbside for the first few months and then open with restrictions for the last few months. The three taverns have been effectively closed for almost all of the last 7 months. We did reopen for about 10 days in July, and then we reopened a couple of weeks ago per the latest guidance with restrictions.
And what kind of hell have you been through, quite frankly?
Well, it was very sudden, right? I think no one really saw a pandemic coming. And in our business in this region, there's a very strong seasonality, and we were just coming out of the slow season. We really look forward to St. Patrick's Day as the beginning of the high season. We make probably 75% of our revenue between March and October. And so we were really gearing up for that, and then the shutdown occurred on March 17th. So since then, it's been chaos, really. We've all been working, many hours a week for free. It takes a lot of energy to run closed down businesses. I never imagined that. On the phone with unemployment on behalf of my employees, I've got employees that, have lost their lodging, and have run out of unemployment benefits, have moved back in with family, have left the state, eating out of food pantries and things like that. We as operators have had an ever-moving target. Our systems are taxed. Most of the systems we deal with are made to be used regularly. And when we force them into dormancy, they start to fail.
And you're talking about the taps, things like that.
And draft systems, coolant systems. Food storage, all these things are not made. They're not optimized for a shutdown scenario, and so we've had equipment failures and all kinds of things that creep in when a business is vacant. that you never really have to worry about. So there's a lot of energy that goes into that. Most of us have, our income went to zero overnight. Most of us have gone back to some other form of employment, taken other jobs in other industries. There's a psychological impact. I never knew I was non-essential until 7 months ago. It's making a lot of people leave the industry, which could be a good thing for a lot. You know, they're going back to nursing school or getting their CDL or these kinds of things. And I wish them the best, but there's a talent flight occurring in food and beverage right now and other non-essential industries. The uncertainty that comes with the economic and uncertainty, is very difficult to manage. We laid off 68 people on March 17th, and they're all looking to us for answers, and we have none.
That's been the hardest part, I think, is worrying about our employees and worrying about if they're eating, if they can pay their rent. It's been really difficult thinking about, not being able to help them and doing as much as we can and still, they're struggling with family and how they're going to pay their bills.
And now that we reopen, the stress continues because the restrictions, they say you're reopened at half capacity. That's really more like 30%. If you observe the groups of six or fewer or 6 feet social distancing, in a good economy, to achieve maybe 30, to operate at 30% capacity under those guidelines you'd be doing well. Then on top of that, we're not in a good economy, and people are scared about going out to social gathering places, and that fear is not without merit. But it's a misconception. People think, well, you're operating at half capacity. Most places maybe are operating at a quarter capacity.
There are a lot of people that, if you look at the gaming industry, for example, there's been a remarkable rebound, pent-up demand, they describe it as. And some places are actually doing better than they were before COVID. Has that not been the same thing in the bar industry?
It hasn't. It's been, what he's saying is we have a bar where people have to come in and they have to be, most of the people that are coming into the bar now are young people. We had a Monday night jazz group, and that was mostly older musicians in the area, and they're afraid they're going to catch COVID, so we had to cancel that. That's no longer something that we're offering. We're not seeing that happen with the bars.
There's a big difference between gaming and food and beverage. And yes, some say we both peddle advice, but gaming is...
Let's call it entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. What we saw immediately happen in the beer business, just to be specific, is on-premise sales plummeted. That's people drinking in bars. And off-premises sales increased. That's off-premise buying in a grocery store. And that is a trend we saw immediately, and it makes sense. Grocery stores were essential, bars were not. When the reopening happened, the pent-up demand that has been seen in gaming, for example, well, you can really only go to a casino to gamble. You can drink a beer in your backyard. And it's kind of, if I've got to stand in line because my favorite establishment is at capacity, and I have to wear a mask the whole time, and people are going to be barking at me to stay 6 feet away, and then somebody's going to check my temperature and ask me personal questions when I walk in the door. You know what? Let's just not go to the bar and have a beer. Let's talk in our backyard. But it doesn't seem when you walk through a casino that those same restrictions are applied. So it seems like the pent-up demand flowed right back into those places.
One of the things that I talked about in the program, throughout this, because of the restrictions, was that at a certain point, you know, socialization, especially between young people, is going to occur. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give them a legitimate legal place to do it, somebody's going to rent a warehouse and have a rave.
Yep.
And, you know, because people are going to date, people are going to have relations. What are you seeing in terms of that, in terms of the business? Or is it going somewhere else?
I think we saw that at a couple of our locations when we opened up again. Sierra Tap House has a younger demographic, and I think that was one of the locations where we did see that at. I think at one point there was, you know, we had to enforce the restrictions more at Tap House, and I think at our other places it's just our demographics are higher. We saw that that was happening at other bars where they were at capacity, and young people were going to those places. I think you're right. We saw that was happening. We heard about, you know, the parties that they were having on buses, you know, and I think that is something that needs to be taken into consideration with the restrictions that are put in place, that, you know, young people are going to try to find a way. They're not as concerned about COVID as, you know, the older generations are.
I think if you would just look at the CDC data, which I think has been used to make a lot of these decisions, earlier CDC data, national CDC data said that increased cases, spikes in cases were coming from food and beverage establishments, which led to the decision to shut my industry down. And then almost immediately, within a month maybe, later CDC data showed that new cases were coming predominantly from private events, backyard parties, clandestine events, things like that. So one could argue, just looking at that trend, that one of the worst things that was done for the spread of coronavirus was to shut down bars. Because now you've got countless numbers of people in someone's backyard, no bar manager, no bouncer, no bartender overseeing their behavior.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that's kind of what my point was there, which is that, you know, if you have this in a place that has all, you know, whatever restrictions are appropriate in place, then you can control this, because the activity is going to happen no matter what. And bars and restaurants are part of the social fabric of this country. I mean, you look at places like New York, mm-hmm. and it's hundreds of thousands, if not into the million category of people who work or are associated with the bar and restaurant business.
Mm-hmm. Every little town in Europe has a similar story. When it was established, the first thing that they built usually was a church. And the second thing they built was a pub. And so we're social animals, right? And social gathering places have always been a part of our culture, especially in the Western world. In a pandemic, I agree that we need to practice social distancing, so the psychology works against us. But people will always do what they're incentivized to do. And along the lines of what you said, if you take away their social gathering places, they will, it goes underground.
Yep.
And I think that's exactly what we saw. And it's frightening in a lot of ways. And it's a bit of a head scratcher to me, because pre-COVID, I'm licensed and empowered on multiple levels to control occupancy, to control age, to control behavior, and to control physical symptoms. It's not that different to look at someone and tell if they are overserved than to tell if they're experiencing symptoms of a virus. Whether I allow 48 or 95 people into my establishment, the number doesn't matter. It's crowd control. Misconduct is misconduct. Whether you're trying to start a fight or trying to have two groups of 12 within 6 feet of each other, or within 4 feet of each other, it's just crowd control. So I don't understand why everything seemed to fly out the window. This is what I've been empowered and licensed to do for 15 years.
Well, I think that there is, and I hate to say a natural response, maybe it's an unnatural response, to any crisis that people overreact, and especially politicians. because they're always worried about, you know, am I going to be blamed for this? Will I not get reelected or move on to my next office? And so it's like when you have a change in parties, when it goes from Republican to Democrat or Democrat to Republican, the pendulum swings way too far in the other direction,
sure.
and it has to come back to the middle at some point. And I think that that's what happened here. And as we've seen with the medical industry, we've seen an evolution. When COVID first broke out, people were being put on ventilators, and that was the big cry, we don't have enough ventilators. And then it got to the point where the doctors figured out that maybe ventilators aren't the appropriate cure for everybody, mm-hmm. and they started taking people off the ventilators and not putting them on in the first place, putting people in different positions in the hospital in their beds, and people were recovering without the ventilators. Some states were sending ventilators back to where they borrowed them from, like Nevada, because they didn't need them. But we haven't seemed to have seen an evolution of this type in the bar and restaurant business. So let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about your thoughts on where we should be heading, okay? We'll be right back.
Things are heating up at the Carson Valley Inn. Win your share of $200,000 through September 26th. Cash and free play every weekend, plus 5x points Fridays. The good times are at CVI.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Things are heating up at the Carson Valley Inn. Win your share of $200,000 through September 26th. Cash and free play every weekend, plus 5x points Fridays. The good times are at CVI.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Zach and Kalila Cage. They own several bars and a restaurant in northern Nevada in the Reno area. So, Zach, let me start out this segment by saying, okay, if you have the opportunity to address the people who are making the rules, what changes would you like to see at this point in COVID that would allow you to not only continue to be in business, but potentially to thrive?
Well, one of the big mistakes I think that was made, and it was made early on, was a structure where the governor gives guidance and then all of the sub-agencies are empowered or permitted to interpret and act on that guidance in a way that they saw fit. So I've had to interface with 10 different agencies relevant to COVID over the last 7 months. And I get 10 different, you know, there are 10 different conversations. And we found cases where to be compliant with one organization, you're not compliant with another. And it's been difficult to get a single conversation going. And often it seems like different sub-agencies aren't talking to each other. So, you know, I issued an op-ed. I published an op-ed a couple months ago addressing this, asking anyone in the public space to join the conversation with me, with my peers and I, so we could just get everybody in a room and ask these questions, because there's you know, there, it's lots of shades of gray. And we want to be compliant. We're taking the virus seriously, but we need answers. I think the formation of the statewide task force has represented progress in that, you know, with regards to that problem. They meet weekly, they meet publicly, there's transparency, and it's done a lot to help solve that problem. So that would be number one, more of that.
More consistency.
Yeah, more consistency, more all of us in the same conversation instead of siloed conversations.
What about now in your bars, do you normally have the restricted gambling games in your bar tops normally?
We only have gaming in one of the bars, your tap house.
Okay, and did you have to move those machines into separate cabinets to be able to utilize those, or did you have to just shut them down?
Just shut them down. They're in the bar top, so they're turned off. The commission came, Gaming Commission came and shut them down when we were shut down, and they've been shut down since then, and there's just, we have tape on them. They're not being used.
And that's a big source of revenue for bars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe more so than selling the alcohol in some cases.
In some cases. That's not particularly our model
with
that location, but yeah, it definitely is a source of revenue that's lost.
From a marketing perspective, how do you look at this coming out the other side?
That is the question. That's the question of what do we do?
Because is it confidence first that you have to build?
I think with that particular bar, people aren't coming there necessarily to gamble. It's not a part of the model, as Zach said. So it's not something that we're seeing, that we're having to deal with in that term.
Yeah, I mean, like business
with the gaming commission, but business in general, yeah. I think that I couldn't imagine having a business that was a part of the model, that was a huge part of their income. I'm not sure how they're handling that or how they would. I think for us with the bars, we're just trying day to day, how are we going to pay our employees? Are we going to have enough people come in to make it flesh out, to make it worthwhile? I don't think we're even thinking right now about, you know, the gaming. So if that's someone's main business, I'm not sure how they would handle that.
Okay, let's take another break and we'll come right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We're talking to bar owners Zachary and Kalila Cage. They own bars in Northern Nevada. Zach, you know, from what you're telling me, it's amazing that your businesses have survived this long. How much more time can you go without there being changes or a vaccine?
Well, I don't think that people realize just how dire this is. I run into people every week, and you know, private citizens and people in the public space that, you know, when I explain just what we're going through and how stretched everything is, there seems to be some surprise and some awe. But it's that bad. I think we're going into the slow season. A lot of my peers are saying that they've borrowed about as much money as they can borrow, and they're not sure even what the next 3 months look like. A lot of these aid programs are not as successful as we thought at first. Some aren't even delivering funds, aren't even able to award money. So it's tough to say what 2021 looks like for a lot of Northern Nevada bar owners, given that we're going to be going into the slow season.
And that's where we have to leave it. Well, we wish you both the best of luck, and to all the other bar owners who are going through the same thing, thank you for sharing your story with us, and we hope you'll come back on the other side of this with better news.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny! Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.